For a while, we took a little break from the book of Revelation just to know more about this amalgamation, this mixing together. We're in this prospect to mix two churches and from two churches to make one and to plant and to with a new vision, new location. So I'm not going into this again, but that was a little detour. And now we are back in the book of Revelation. And the series that I am in now is, I entitled Worship Under Attack. The first part of Revelation was worship is significant. It's meaningful. Now we are in chapter 13 already. And chapter after chapter after chapter, we realize that worship is under attack. And it's not, we are talking about the future, right? But talking about the future, what we live now is just a practice, a rehearsal of that future. All these things that we realize so far, they are present with us. And the book of Revelation was written for the church. So it's written for us today, okay? Last time we were in chapter 12, and we looked at the Great Tribulation from Satan's perspective. This is a war on worship. Today, but even more in the future. And on one side, you have the Holy Trinity, and on the other side, you have the unholy Trinity. The Holy Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The unholy Trinity, when I will say this, you know, I'm talking about Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And they are on war. And on one side, we have true worshipers, and on the other side, we have false or fake worshipers. And as God, what we found so far is as God will pour out his wrath on Satan's worshipers, Satan will he will pour out his wrath on God's worshipers. And this is, it's okay. We know this. It's not in the future, but it's in the present too. As I said, it's a war on worship. And in the Greek language, I will tell you just God's wrath is called orge. This is the word for God's wrath. It's an anger that knows no limit. We even have the word orgy in English. That is, you go overboard with everything. Imagine that on anger. God's anger is with no limits. And Satan's wrath is another word that means a rage that is based on strong emotions. It's not logical. It's just feelings, emotions. So why Satan is so angry? Because he knows his activity is limited. His time is limited, everything is limited, and he is crazy. And we can feel it today too. It's not only in the future, but imagine in the future. Oh my, he will be really, really crazy. In chapter 12, we learn that Satan is the enemy of our worship. And following the clues in chapter 12, we learn that he acts persistently throughout the history. It's not only in the future, it's throughout the history, and we are part of that history. His attacks are now they are increased, and he will increase more and more the attacks, and he knows he's limited. And as he increases this anger against us, the true worshipers, he hates us. Do you understand this? Satan hates you. So he is not a nice person. He is not treating you with, you know, oh, look at that, he's so cute. No, he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you because you are loyal to God. And he is angry because of your loyalty. Every time when you come together with the church, in the church service, because we are the church, every time when we praise God, he is crazy. His anger is like, he's like a lion, right? Raging like a lion, trying to intimidate one of us to do, you know, to disconnect from this because he hates us. He hates this, actually, this service. Do you understand this? He hates us doing this right now. Satan's plan, according to chapter 13 now, is to bring two more helpers into this war. And this is the Antichrist and the false prophet. Until then, Satan is grooming this world toward the fulfillment of this plan. We will see in chapter 13 that satanic worship is the future of humanity. What the future holds is satanic worship, Satanism, like next level. And there were three, what we see in chapter 13 is three things that will make this worship, satanic worship, demonic worship, inevitable. Sorry for inevitable. Well, hard to avoid, okay? The political power, the powerful spirituality that is in the world, and the use of future technology. It's really interesting. Until that moment of satanic worship, Satan is making plans to own the political class, to make the population more and more naive, to be spiritually manipulated. And he is pouring out probably a lot of money into technology and the gurus of the technology. This is only a practice for future, okay? What we live today is a practice for future. Now, the verse that convinced me that, and you could go to the first slide. I know I have this one too, but is this, verse 10. Verse 10, when we will read, you will understand in the context. But verse 10 says this, if anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity will go. This is the future. If anyone is to be slain, killed, well, he will be killed. You understand that? You cannot avoid it. This is the verse that made me to understand that this worship in the future, that Satan will bring the whole world to worship him, cannot be avoided. This is where we are all, not us, the whole humanity, the whole earth is going toward, okay, toward this. That's why I said is inevitable. You cannot avoid this. The saints of the tribulation will suffer exile. They will suffer prison. They will suffer death. And this word is for the future, for them. But it's also for us. Why? Because if we know where we are heading to, we know how to prepare for the present. Because it's not like, boo, out of nowhere, out of blue, Satan will be worshipped all over the world. No. He is working hard even now. And probably you will see some of these things from chapter 13 even now as we speak. So now we are ready to read chapter 13, okay? So Revelation chapter 13. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea and with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to its the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, for that he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? And who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words. And it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in the heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with a sword must he be slain. Here is the call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of the people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it caused all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The worship, the satanic worship, is hard to avoid, is inevitable. How do we know that? Well, in the first 10 verses, we realize that the satanic worship is made, made inevitable by the political power. So this is the main idea, the inevitable satanic worship. And this is the first one that I would like to emphasize. In chapter 12, verse 17, we read that the red dragon, who's Satan, he stood on the sand of the sea. And then right away, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea. This is the connection between Satan and the Antichrist. Satan as a fallen angel, and Antichrist, a man. Another connection is that both, they have seven heads. The Antichrist is also a system and a person. So the connection between Satan and the system, this Antichrist, anti-Messiah system, is that there are seven heads and also ten horns. We know from last time that the seven heads are the seven empires: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and Rome revived, the last one, the Antichrist, and ten rulers, that they will be in this Rome revived empire future. Still, in chapter 12, also the diadems, if you read, the diadems are on the heads. The diadems are on the heads. But in chapter 13, there is a change. The diadems are on the horns. And maybe you think, so what? Well, a diadem is actually, it's a crown. A diadem. There are two types of crowns in the book of Revelation. One is, up to now, we always talk about Stephanos, that crown of victory. They are victorious. But this is not the crown of victory. This is a crown of rule, of authority. So that's why I said political power, because it's all about political power here in the first part of chapter 13. Satan gives his power and his authority to the Antichrist. And then we read that everybody, all these nations, will give their power. So if you make the whole picture, you realize that all the powers in the world are led by Satan, and they will do this. Actually, he is doing this. He will give the whole authority to this system and to a person. So it's really interesting that when you look in the history of all the empires that I told you about, they were all led by dictators. By dictators. All of them. And now, if they morph from one to another and to another, and then all of these, they morph into the last one, who do you think the leader will be a dictator? Of course, it makes sense. He is one ruler, one government, one coin, one religion. Everything will be one. And we are living now the process. This is the process that we see everywhere. You know, this globalization, and I'm not going into politics, but you know more than I know. So just think about when you take the newspaper today and the Bible, they really match. We know what the Bible talks about. It's real. It's clear. But there is another connection with Daniel. Not only these empires and the horns, you know, the horns means the power, the authority. But then, oh, by the way, just a parenthesis, you know, the crowns, the king's crowns always is like this. I think I don't have one, but I was looking for one. You know why? Because in the beginning, all these crowns, they had horns, animal horns. The horn, the power of an animal is in the horn, right? So, you know, people with horns on their head, they were like, I'm the boss here. So just to understand the whole history, it's almost the same. We just improve a little bit, you know. This is not a horn. This is, you know, gold and precious stones and everything. But it's the same thing. It's the same concept. Now, another thing that is interesting in the beginning, it says that this beast had, the beast was like a leopard and its feet like a bear's and the mouth like a lion's. When you read Daniel chapter 7, these are the first three empires there. The bear, Medo-Persia. The leopard, Greece. The lion, Babylon. So why? It's because this empire of the Antichrist will be so great, so invincible, and so fast, like the other ones. Again, they morph always in another thing and with another name, but it's the same empire. But I'm not going in. Daniel is fascinating. I love Daniel, but I'm not going there now. But when you read Revelation, you cannot understand Revelation if you don't understand Daniel. The reason why people will worship Satan is that he will give his authority, look in verse 4, to the Antichrist. And with all these characteristics, people are so marveled, and they say, "Oh, who can fight and win the battle with this Antichrist? This is awesome! You see that? Who is like the beast? Who is like this system? It's the best system ever. Where all the other systems and empires failed, this one will succeed." And they will say, "Whoa, this is awesome! Who can fight against it?" And humanly speaking, it's like, yeah, you're right. But do you know, in the same text, we have God's perspective on this system, and even on the man, the Antichrist. It's like, oh, I just allowed him like 42 months. 3.5 years. It's limited. You understand? With all the political power, and you think, oh man, they will crush us. They will kill us all. No? No? Why? God places limits to these politicians, to these political systems, and even the greatest of the greatest. You have only 42 months. Done. When time expires, you are done with it. Get out of here. Who's in control? Who's in control? God. God allows him. You see people, ooh, what a system. And God looks at them, yeah, in 42 months it's done. It's just take this. I'll give you two examples, okay? Decius Trajan, when he became the emperor of Rome, he blamed the Christians for natural calamities, internal and external attacks on the stability of the state. And he said, if we will kill them all, the Roman Empire will be okay. And in 250, he issued an edict demanding an annual offering of sacrifice at the Roman altars. And if you cannot say the emperor is the Lord and pour some incense and burn some incense, they will kill you. Okay? Anything, and this was all over the Roman Empire. All over. Not some areas. All over. You know how much time did this persecution lasted? 1 year. Well, a lot of Christians were killed during this time. But only 1 year. He issued the edict in 250 AD. In 251, he died. He died. And the whole thing died with him. There is another one. Diocletian started in 285. He was a despotic rule, dictator. And he said, you know, I will not tolerate any faith hostile to the empire. And he decided that the Christians were hostile against the empire. And he said, okay. He, in 303 AD, he ordered and issued an edict, and he ordered the cessation of the meetings of the Christians. Christians could not meet again. It was illegal to meet as, you know, to be church. The destruction of their buildings, he actually said, all the churches, now they have to hand and turn in their leaders to the state. You understand that? So imagine our church, and Diocletian comes and say, all of your leaders, turn them in to the state, and they will be killed. Would you do this to me? Would you do this to Tia? But do you understand this? They were required. If you don't do that, that's illegal. They will come after you. And then he issued a second edict, and he ordered Christians to sacrifice to the pagan gods. And if you refuse, you die. Eusebius is one of the best historians of the church. He said that in that time, the prisons became so crowded with Christians that was no room for criminals. Could you imagine that? Well, Christians were killed, execution by sword, wild beasts, labor camps, exile, name it. He did it to them. You know how for how long? So this, the first edict, 303. In 305, he got so sick that he had to abdicate. He was the first emperor abdicating his position voluntarily. And for the rest of his life, he was doing, he was, you know, planting vegetables. Limited time. Limited time. A few years ago, during the pandemic, we thought, man, this will never end. And in one day, they said, oh, everything is okay. I'm like, how come? How come? Right? You could even draw a line in the calendar. From now on, there is no COVID. What? And the political class was in this, right? You have to understand something. God is in control, and we have to understand. And whatever comes over us, it's for a season. If we will die, we have life insurance. If we will survive, we survive to tell the story. What story? The story of God's faithfulness. The story of God control. And the politicians, may they have the power for a season. The Antichrist may have power for a season. Well, his season is 3.5 years. But the humanity will be sold in the future to Satanism, and this is only for a season. Again, you understand that? Overall, God is in control. I love my God. I love my God. But this season is inevitable. You cannot avoid. You have to go through, but it's limited. And then what I see in chapter 13, the satanic worship is made inevitable by use of the power of powerful spirituality. And maybe you're thinking, what is this powerful spirituality? This spirituality will be energized by Satan and his demons. And by the way, this powerful spirituality, I name it like this because I didn't want to say idolatry. You know why? Because we are so used with idolatry, with this word, that rings any, no bell. You know, yeah, idolatry, yeah, I got it. No, no, no. It's really powerful. Why? Because behind every idol, there is a demon. And this idolatry is energized and is addictive. Addictive. While the unholy Trinity is making miracles and blaspheme God, and the Holy Trinity, this is the scene now, the Holy Trinity is destroying the earth. So you can see this opposing in chapter 13, opposing powers. And much like the magicians in Egypt, the unholy Trinity will bring even fire from heaven. Well, by the way, if you know anything about the last 3.5 years of the Antichrist kingdom, a lot of time fire comes down. And they were not doing anything else but bringing more fire. I was like, man, do something better than this. But they just, and all the people said, whoa, that's awesome. So, okay, now we understand. Anybody can do this. Remember the magicians in Egypt? With Moses, they did some tricks for a while, but that they could, that was the limit. They were limited. The power, this spirituality is really powerful and energizes the satanic worship. Now, why I'm saying this? Look in verse 3. One of his heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but his mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled, as they followed the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against it? This, the Antichrist will be the hero of that time. Hero with capital H. He will be the hero. For 3.5 years, he will rule globally, and somebody will kill him. Well, try to assassinate him. And probably he will, I don't know, what we know is when you read Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, it says this. The beast that you saw was an destruction and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and to go to destruction. The Antichrist will, I don't know if he will die or he will fake. He will come back, life, but when he comes back, he comes demonized from the bottomless pit. So that's why the last 3.5 years, he will be really crazy. And when he will recover, the Antichrist will try to fake Jesus' death and resurrection. That's why he is the Antichrist, anti-Messiah. By the way, in Greek, in the Greek language, anti is not only opposing, but also replacing. This particle, anti, means also replacing. He is not only against the Messiah, but he's replacing the Messiah. And by the way, this is only a title. His name is 666, okay? We'll talk about this later. And also, this guy will have his own followers, his own disciples. And his purpose is to make the whole world to bow down and worship Satan. Another way how they will do it is like open rebellion against God. In verse 5 and 6, it says this, and the beast was given a mouth uttering blasphemous words and so on and so forth. We've already read that. He will blaspheme. He will blaspheming his name, blaspheming God, so insulting God, insulting his name, and insulting his dwelling place, which means all the persons that they will be in heaven, in the third heaven in that moment. And you think, how do they know that there are any creatures in heaven right then? Well, because between the sixth and the seventh trumpet, the heaven will open and people on earth, they will be able to see the heaven. That's why the Antichrist will fight not only with God, insult his name, everything that he is, but insult all the angels, all the people that they are there, dwelling with God. I'm like, that's really powerful. If you see this guy, he's really a hero. I mean, he's, you know, fighting with everybody. And now, God is the villain. And Satan is the good guy. Why the villain? Because God, during these judgments, he destroys little by little the whole earth. But you need to read the book of Revelation to get that. So imagine, while God is pushing people to see if they will repent or not, he destroys the earth, and all the earth dwellers, you know, the ecologists will say, oh, the earth will, you know. I don't have to, it's at news all the time today, right? Oh, the planet will be destroyed. Yeah, they will. Read the book of Revelation, man. Not by us, but God will do it. And he knows how to do it better than us. But, oh yeah, let's preserve the earth. Preserve it because God will destroy it. It's like, and then imagine that when God will destroy it, how crazy there will be these people thinking God is the villain here. He's the bad guy. And Satan is on our side. That's why we worship him. He gave all the power to Antichrist. You see, this system is it's ours. We are so proud of this system. And that's why when the Antichrist will start insulting God and heaven and everything, they will say, oh, this is the man. And then in verse 13, talking about the false prophet, I don't have enough time to talk about, you know, their description. And I'm just following one thread here, worship. And verse 13, it performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth. People, this false prophet will, his job is to replace the false religion, the Babylon. Babylon will die after 3.5 years, the religious Babylon. And he will take it over. And he will make people to bow down to it. The Antichrist will make people to bow down to the to Satan. It's a plan. It's planned out. And this guy will fight against the ministry of the two witnesses from Jerusalem. I know it's kind of a, if you haven't read the book of Revelation, it's kind of a, what are you talking about? But it's a worship war here. And this guy will be, this man will be so, he will be able to make miracles. Miracles, signs, wonders, supernatural manifestation. People will say, oh, this is not only spirituality, but there is power behind this. And by the way, if you think that only God can do miracles, you're wrong. Because this guy will make miracles with the power of Satan. Miracles, just read. Miracles you can find in any culture, any religion. I don't want to talk about, you know, making surgery with bare hands and voodoo and Santeria and all this. Crazy. Who in the world is doing this? Not God. Then angels and demons, they are able to do this. So that's interesting. Just keep in mind, idolatry is something very powerful. Idolatry is powered by Satan and his demons. And we cannot understand 100% the angelic world. We cannot understand what they are capable of. The word daimonion, demon in English, daimonion in Greek, means knowledgeable. They're really smart, intelligent beings, persons without a physical body, but able to take human form, able to change shapes, even to be detected by radar or whatever, like matter. So they are really, really, and everything they want, what they want to do is to deceive us. They can appear and disappear, interfere with technology. There are so many things that they can do. Their work is to make people to worship Satan. Marvel, admire, and then worship. You see that? It's easy. And I have a third point in my... I know it's really... Okay, oh, sorry. I had this. I could... Okay. But the use of technology will be in this. The satanic worship will be inevitable because of the future technology. And the false prophet will be able to make an image, a copy of the Antichrist to talk instead of the Antichrist. Probably the Antichrist will not recover so well. So this guy will say to the human, other humans, that, you know, the technological gurus or whatever, they said, make me something to replace the Antichrist. Like, you know, like, what was his name? The guy that stayed in a chair like this. Stephen Hawking, yeah. You know, he was... But he was talking, like something like that, or even more than that. Probably transhumanism, probably AI. In the past, I thought is this, you know, the hologram. And this is, by the way, where this is a hologram. And I thought, oh yeah, that's the future. No. Now with the rise of AI is even worse. And what I'm trying to say is, we are there technologically. And then the purpose prepared to do this, this guy will do. And then the purpose of the false prophet will make, as I said, to everybody to worship Antichrist. And he will issue two edicts. The first one will be about an emblem of loyalty. And this emblem of loyalty will be a tattoo, like in the old times, the priests, the slaves, the soldiers, they wear a tattoo. The priests with the god, the soldiers with the legion, and just to make sure that you know they belong to that, right? So this was loyalty. So he will make people to say, if you are loyal to the Antichrist, take this tattoo or whatever. The word in Greek is karagma, which means like a brand that is like a tattoo today. And then this sign will be so visible to recognize that that guy is loyal. It's like this. I wanted to find some people, even today, they are like, woo, 666. Yeah, I don't know what you are talking about. And they are ready for the future. I don't like that future. But the second edict will be punishment of loyalty. Not the emblem of loyalty, but the punishment. Oh, you don't want to do this? You are not loyal to the Antichrist? You don't worship Satan? Okay, I'll do something. I will isolate you. How? You know, if you don't wear this 666, you cannot buy, you cannot sell. You cannot go vacation, you cannot go to the restroom, not even restroom. Not the restaurant, restroom. So what do? You are excluded from the society. So, oh, you want to be included? Take the sign. Do I have to say something now about COVID and vaccine and, oh, the pandemic of the unvaccinated? If you are not vaccinated, take, you know, fines of 10,000 euros. Remember that? That's a few years ago. Same thing. Oh, you are not. Oh, you cannot do this and that. Right? This is the rehearsal. This is the practice for the future. A future that will be really, really bad. Why? Everybody, almost everybody will worship Satan. If you don't worship Satan, they will kill you. They will isolate you. They will make you your life hell and impossible. And maybe you think, how in the world can I worship God in this situation? This is really bad. How can I worship God? Well, this is actually what the scripture says. Listen. If you have an ear, listen what is going on. Try to make sense of it. Be patient. Endurance is when you act in accordance to what you know. Yeah, it's inevitable, but God is over everything. Praise God. You see? Patience, endurance. Have faith, verse 10. Be loyal to God, right? The faith of the saints, be loyal to God. And understand. Understand what is 666. It's a number, it's not the number of an empire, it's the number of a man. And this man will be the perfect man. You know, in scripture, 6 is the number of men, of humanity. And 666, 3 times, is the perfect. He will be the perfect man of all the ages, will be a beast-like dictator. This is what we can do better. You know, the best of us is this. And by the way, it's not for us today. Don't look for, this is my take. During the ages, a lot of people, Christians, they try to figure out, oh, 666 is Nero. Oh, 666 is Hitler. Oh, 666. Don't do that. Because when he will come, it will be very easy to understand. If you know his picture from Daniel and Revelation, you will know that this is the Antichrist. And you will know his name. And when you take his name and you take the Greek alphabet and 666, they will match. But it will be from my take. I know not everybody is on the same page. I'm not dogmatic about that. But I do believe that the church will have the power for this. And the people living during that time, if they will have the Bible and said, yeah, 666, and his name? Oh, yeah, got it. He is the man. He is. So, until then, the message that really encourages me is this. Listen, be patient, have faith, and try to understand. Try to make, you put all these, you know, puzzles together, and with the Bible in your hand, it's really easy to understand what's going on today. Lord, thank you so much for the fact that you gave us the book of Revelation. And thank you for the fact that the book of Revelation was written for the church, not for the world. Yes, I know there are so many talking about the Armageddon and talking about Nimrod and talking about, well, they have no idea what they are talking. But thank you, Lord, that you, through the Holy Spirit, you gave us an open book to understand how difficult it is to worship you in the context of even today, but it's not impossible. And we know who we worship. We know you. We know that you are our Father. And that's why we are before you and before your throne. It's so much mercy and so much grace there. And thank you for this time that we spend in the Word. And thank you for encouraging us. Looking in the future, knowing what it will come, but what is today, we know that we better focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there are any questions about this? We can, I know, we have a song, no song. We are over time now. It's on me, I'm sorry. But do you have any questions about this, about chapter 13? I love to answer your question. Believe me. It's not like, you know, there is anything, if you are here just, you know, for the first time, you are part of us. We are all here. We were under this teaching. If you have a question, please. Something that was not clear, I love to make it clear, if I can.
It's brand new hope. So today, the 666, for example, and when yes. You said the 1-6 is the end of creation, the sixth day. Is that true? Is that correct? Is this, understand this correctly? Of human, you said it's humanity. Sorry.
It's the men. It's yeah, the number of men. It's everywhere. It's six. Like seven is the number of completion.
Yeah. So it was six the day that you. God created human beings. Is that the same connection? The humanity,
I don't know.
The day of creation, and the next day was the day
and
of rest.
And why? Because in the sixth day, the man was created? Could be.
I'm wondering.
I don't know. But that's an interesting take. I didn't heard this so far, but I'll go and research this. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It could be. Good. Well, I don't know. I'm not dogmatic about that, but why not? I know. Well, the question was that probably six is because the day of creation, the sixth day when the man was created. I don't know. It could be, but I'm not so sure about it. You know. Good job, Elaine. I started my answers with I have no idea. Nobody will ask anything. I was like, you have no idea, man. Yeah, thank you. No, it's a good. It's okay. Anybody else? Thank you. Oh yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Do you have any questions or yeah? Or a comment?
It's just like in the past.
Yeah, the time
is limited.
Limited. So it's a season.
Yeah, it's good to know that God is in control.
Amen. Oh, thank you. Yeah, great. Anyone else?
When you say, like, we will know, like, who the Antichrist is,
yes.
Like, are you saying that, like, the Antichrist will rise up and then the rapture happens, or the rapture happens and then the Antichrist will rise, and then the people that are there will know?
Yes, the people there. That's why it's kind of it's not my job in the church, being church, to figure out who is this guy, because I'm still here. Yeah,
okay,
I will
okay.
not be here.
Okay, gotcha.
And I don't care. This is why, if we will know, like, okay, this is interesting with the names. When you read the prophecy of Isaiah, he talks about Cyrus the Great. If you know that he said that the prophecy was 150 years before Cyrus did that, that's interesting, because he was not his title, was his name. And probably his parents were not born yet. I don't know. So you understand? That's amazing. So God can do that. He could say, okay, and his name is blah, blah, blah. And then everybody will wait for blah, 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 right? But no. Because in the book of Revelation, because it's open, it's revealed, there are some mysteries too. If you remember the seven thunders, they said something, and John was like, yeah, okay, I have to write it down. And God said, don't do it. That was only for your ears. Oh, okay, thank you. But we don't know what they said. And we don't know why God said, this is just a title. It's not a name. Like in the Old Testament, you know, the Messiah, the Messiah, the Messiah. They didn't know the name. Only his mother and his father, you know, earthly father, his name will be Jesus. Oh, now I know. It's something like that. It will build, but then they will know. It will be very clear. Well, I'll not be here. I'll not be here for that. Yeah, this is what my take. Well, there are like four ideas about the rapture, when the rapture will come. It's before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, and it's one called pre-wrath, between the middle and the end. From all of them, I hold the first one, because it's the only one that fits with a thief in the night. You don't know when it happens. All the others, you know everything. You know, the Antichrist is for 7 years, and then 3.5, and 3.5, and this will happen in the first 3.5, and this will happen. You know everything. I mean, you expect, okay, it's not today, maybe tomorrow. But now, as we speak, it may happen. That fits with this pre-trib, so that's why I believe that.
You said earlier that Satan is not happy right now, even in this sanctuary
yes.
where we are sitting down.
He's angry.
He's mad because he knows that his days are numbered. And
his time is limited.
Yes. Yeah, so
he need to do as much as he can in this limited time.
Yeah. And as believer, just as you mentioned also that all this trial, tribulation will come, you know, if you don't want to worship the devil and his agents, you know, we might face, death can occur.
Yeah, but I'm talking about chapter 13 and all of these is about the time in the future when God will pour out his wrath on the earth. But if the church is on earth in that moment, he pours out his wrath on the church. And that's impossible. Because, you know, Romans 8, there is no condemnation. I'm like, what? There are so many texts that... So it must be like this, that we are not there for that moment. But even now, he's really crazy.
We are those who are in Christ Jesus, you know. We know that even though this battle comes, we are with the Lord Almighty. If they want to kill us,
yeah.
So
Yeah.
The most important is that no compromising.
Yeah, so exactly. We just, no compromise.
Yes.
And why? Because we are dead already.
Yeah.
We are dead for this world.
Yeah.
We live for another world, right? We are citizen to another world, not this world.
Yeah.
It happens that we hold another citizen here, you know, citizenship. I'm from there. Yeah, great. But actually, we are all Christians. We are all a new race, a new creation. And we are all citizens of heaven. And that's what was most important. It's 12:15. It's really, I don't want to abuse this, but thank you so much. And may the Lord bless you and help you to do this. Oh, it's not in there. To do this, to observe, to know, to listen, to see, but to be patient and also to have faith. Amen? God bless you.